Hi, you're listening to Becoming Whole podcast with Claire Bradshaw, where I explore with my guests what it means to lean into living a life of wholeness and connectedness, a life where all parts of ourselves, our body, mind and spirit, come into alignment, where we're truly living into our own personal values. So if you're a seeker, a feeler or someone wanting more from your precious life, then tune in every fortnight and let's get inspired together. Hello. Before we get to the episode today, I wanted to let you know that I have a few spots left for my 2019 Vitality Kickstart package. And this is something that I've only been offering throughout December and January. And this is a 60-minute coaching call with me to really get clear on what's working and what's not been working for you over the year of 2018 so that you can really get clear on your goals for 2019. I'll also be including a number of other tools that will help you to really stay on track with your wellness goals throughout the year. So that will include a 20-minute simple morning yoga sequence and a 10-minute guided meditation along with a downloadable self-care template. And the reason why I've provided or created this package, and it's not something that I've ever run before or something that I run throughout the rest of the year, but I've had a number of requests from people who are really wanting to, just get started with their goals. They find that, it gets to the start of the year and they're either feeling a little bit overwhelmed or they don't really know where to start in terms of, how to put a bit of a plan together and, to speak to someone and really get clear on what their specific goals are. So that's why I put this together. I also have spots available for coaching with me from sort of like mid to late January and then through the year. And I offer 3 to 4 month coaching packages. So if you're interested in any of that, I also run discovery calls, which are free. So you can see whether coaching with me is going to be right for you. And I'll put all of those details in the show notes so you can find out all of that information if that sings out to you. Well, let's get through to the episode. I'm sure you can't wait to hear who I have with me today. Hello and welcome to episode number 30 of Becoming Whole podcast with Claire. I can't believe that we've reached episode number 30. It's just super exciting for me. I've poured a lot of my own time, energy, and total love and commitment into this podcast. And I've been loving absolutely every minute of this to connect with a lot of like-minded souls. To have some really deep and juicy conversations and to be able to share all of this with you, my community, has been an absolute pleasure. I've received so many beautiful messages and emails about the show, and I absolutely love to receive them. So please do keep them coming. And in today's episode, I speak with the beautiful Melissa Sandon. And if you're not aware of Melissa, I'll tell you a little bit about her. She's the founder of the Soul Medicine Academy, creator of the Soul Leader School, the Energy and Soul Medicine Practitioner Certification, and the Soul Center Healing Model. And she guides women to awaken their soul gifts, activate their power, and fulfill their greater legacy of their soul in this world. She does that through the erotic arts of light and dark work, anchoring energy with the earth, embodying our desires. And, if you haven't met Melissa or seen any of her videos or, done any of her trainings, she really is such a beautiful soul, and I think that you will really gather that from this interview. I could really sense Melissa's authenticity, her vulnerability, and her absolute realness and commitment to her work and bringing that into the world. And this interview, we talk about so much juicy stuff, things like divine interventions. We talk about wake-up calls, soul awakening, how they may appear in our lives. We talk about illness and we talk about health-related issues and how these can sometimes be a gateway into awakening. We talk about what the dark night of the soul is And Mel provides some great suggestions on how to move through it with a little bit more ease and grace. And we also talk about the importance of feeling into sensations within the body. So really talking about embodiment and sitting with felt sensations and allowing energy to move through the body. And we talk about ways in which you can get support in, you know, undertaking some of these pieces of the work so that you can allow your true soul gifts to come through into the world. I absolutely loved this. This interview was a really nice deep conversation and I gained a lot through it, as much from reflection on my journey and talking to Melissa about hers. So I really hope you enjoy the interview and let's get to it. Hi Mel, lovely to have you on the show.
Wow, so good to be here, Claire.
Lovely. So, you know, I've been following you for a couple of years. I've been following your journey and the beautiful work that you've been bringing into the world. And I'd love to kind of start with, you know, where your interest in spirituality sort of began and what kind of took you onto this path.
It's a great question. It feels like it's always been here. And I remember being quite young, and I think a lot of sensitive people will relate to this, where you might have been in an environment or a family dynamic where maybe the rest of the family didn't have your sensitivities, and you're having all of these kind of big experiences, big emotional experiences. And having a lot of that internally going on made me really connect with the outer world in a very spiritual way. Just kind of felt like it was my natural gift. I would go deep into myself. I remember being a teenager, like really angsty and in a little bit of emotional turmoil, because a lot of the emotions I was feeling, I hadn't really felt safe to express them, or I didn't know how to express them. So I internalized a lot of them, and remembering going on these meditation journeys where I would sink into myself and meet all sorts of fantastical, what I know now to be beings of soul, and meeting my soul and having these amazing experiences. So I remember being very spiritual and very sensitive, which I think both of them worked together from a young age, and then shutting it down and doing what I thought I needed to do to make people proud and to be a high achiever and a perfectionist, and really shutting down that part of myself and being on a trajectory of, I went and studied engineering at university and went into the corporate world. And even though I was still highly sensitive, it was like I forgot that part of myself. And it wasn't until I had a healing crisis in my corporate job, and a bit of a nervous breakdown, that I was not forced, but really asked to go and look at those places within me that I had shut down and reunite with my spirituality. And that kind of set me on my path, a 10-year path of starting to slowly transition out of what I was doing and moving more in alignment with that and studying. And the day that I finally said, okay, I'm going to start my own business. And I had been studying on the side kinesiology for a while, and I took the leap. So it felt like always being spiritual, but I suppressed a lot of that for quite a while too.
Yeah. And when you've been working with clients, have you found like a similar sort of pattern there, that, you know, that when they were younger, they felt this real connection to something, but then as, you know, they got older, whether it's teenagers or, you know, during the 20s, when, you know, society is kind of expecting us to study and get that kind of proper job, you know, and then it kind of gets shut down and forgotten about in pursuit of other things. And then at some point, it kind of then almost comes back, that feeling of, yeah, you know, like, oh, there is something else out there. Do you find that to be quite common with the people that you work with as well?
Absolutely. I feel like there's this collective timeline for so many of us. We have such diverse stories and journeys, but the themes are so the same: highly sensitive, connected, emotional, intuitive, lose yourself to trying to be what you think the world wants of you to stay safe. Sometimes you start to just naturally wake up from that, and sometimes it's nearly like your soul orchestrates this divine intervention. And if you're a bit stubborn like I was and head in the sand kind of soldering on, it happened in a healing crisis, because it nearly like my soul was shaking me saying, wake up, this is not who you are and this is not why you're here, and you need to start telling the truth. So I think sometimes it can be quite a big awakening because you haven't been listening, and so it can shake your world up quite a lot. But I see that same trajectory for so many people.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And did you find that you were getting little nudges before you kind of had to make a change? Were you getting, you know, thoughts or feelings that something just wasn't quite right?
Look, I would say for a lot of the people that I work with now, they absolutely do get those nudges. And there's that growing tension and the growing signs and all sorts of things that are giving you that activation so that you can come home to yourself. For me, I was, I think I was 23 at the time of the first big wake up from my soul experience. And I feel like I was probably pretty numbed out and pushing ahead on a certain trajectory. So I was a bit oblivious to all the signs and the nudges that might've been happening. But what I notice is, maybe this is a collective thing that we're all a bit more open. These things are more talked about. There's big movements of awakening. So the nudge, like it, people are more open to it now, maybe, because I do see a lot of people, you know, they've been hearing the call for a little while.
Yeah, I agree. I think people have more of an awareness, maybe, than maybe previously. Because I find that with a lot of the clients that I work with, they will experience, generally it's something health related. Because I suppose when it's physical, when it's like, you know, whether you're feeling very unwell physically, or you know, you hurt a part of your body, that can be, you know, a wake up to kind of then discovering what is going on, and then, you know, and that can take you down a journey and then connect to something deeper.
Most definitely. And it's nearly like the awakening steps down into a communication that you're ready to hear, i.e. there's something out of balance and out of alignment with my body, and it makes you accountable to that rather than this nebulous intuitive, you know, stuff that can go on. It's like, oh, okay, my body is calling me. And it's often, oh, we can relate to that because it's a physical thing, and it's sometimes that first gateway. It's like a, you know, okay, I'll meet that, and then your soul is like, aha, I've got you. Now we're going deeper.
Yeah, it's so true. You're almost like, you're now ready. Yeah, like you said, now ready to hear. Now you're that bit more open. Okay, listen.
And most health things as well, like we need to meet them holistically. So while there's so much potency in meeting your health conditions with stuff within the physical body, whether it's nutrition or herbs or exercise or, you know, chiropractic or whatever it is that you choose to meet it with, I find that the true transformation of it, because it's not just a health condition, it's an awakening, and it's multidimensional, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's energetic, it's about who you really are. So I find to get that sustainable transformation, you often find yourself meeting all of those other dimensions, because just meeting the health with a physical action often doesn't take you deep enough anyway.
Yeah, I love that. So true. When I had my health stuff, I went to the doctor because this was before I knew about anything alternative or, different ways of healing. And the doctor prescribed, all of the pills and, creams and all of that. But there was something within me that just said, no, that's not getting to the root. That's not the reason why you're feeling the way you are. There's something else. And I want to find that out, not cover it up. I went on my journey. But I think it's so great that people are starting to kind of look at other modalities of healing, and there are so many now that we can look at to really explore, and then through that begin to ask some questions and go a bit deeper. Love that. And tell me, Sue, as part of your journey, did you experience any, people talk about the dark night of the soul? Now I'd love to get your thoughts on, I suppose, whether you've experienced that in your journey, and also whether you believe that that's right to be called the dark night of the soul, or whether you give it a different name.
I have a little giggle because I feel like I'm probably the queen of the dark night of the soul. Not anymore, but I feel like that was the nature of my particular awakening journey. And I think, so for people listening, the dark night of the soul is really that time where you meet your deepest and sometimes your most darkest parts. And sometimes you don't even have a choice to meet them. It just spins into your world and it rises up within you, and everything moves out of a sense of, security and control and understanding and clarity, and spins you into the unknown. And where I think the dark night of the soul really comes up is not the fact that we move into the unknown so that we can stretch into something new and leap into where our desire really wants to take us, but because those of us with sensitivities, often very sensitive hearts and emotional, realms within us and whole histories. And if you're sensitive as well, you're not just feeling what's happening in your life and what has happened, you're often feeling what happens in your lineage and your family and the collective of individuals, particularly women. And sometimes if you're a spiritual person, you're feeling beyond that and the journey of the soul, not just in this life. So you tend to feel it all. And I think part of the healing is what comes up as we start to move into the unknown and stretch into the becoming of who we really are, all of our fear and all of our doubt and all of our pain. And it's nearly like one of the things about being human is the pain that creates the wound. All of us have to walk through that in order to find our power. Because it exists within us. And I think sometimes when we start to meet those deep places within us, that's when our nervous system takes hold and says, this is not safe to be here. I've tried to protect you from this my whole life. Starts going into that alarm and panic. And it really locks you down into a place of, the soul is already taking me on the awakening, but I'm in the unknown. It doesn't feel safe. And therefore, that dark night of the soul begins, where you actually have to learn to walk through your deepest fears and your deepest pains and meet what is within you and find yourself. That's the dark night. And I think if you're highly sensitive, that dark night can be quite intense. Because what you feel, you have the capacity to go deeper and to bring through more of your history and what you're channeling through from your soul. So why you're here and what you're meant to share and the gifts that you're meant to give. I feel like when you start to bring those through, they have quite a lot of luminosity. And I think that luminosity can penetrate even deeper. So I find that the individuals who are here to bring their gifts often tend to have a bigger dark night of the soul at some point, because those gifts go to all of the places within them. They have the power to penetrate really deeply. and to bring up those original wounds that we have so that we can liberate ourselves. So I remember my times as being quite dark and gnarly and full on, and moments where I felt like this is not possible for me. I can't do this. And even spinning into a bit of a depression because it felt like things would never change and what I really desired would never happen. And I was just in the heart of my wounds, but I was in it so much that I couldn't see outside of it. And I think that's the dark night as well.
Oh, thank you so much for, describing that, because I think that there are definitely people out there that may be experiencing this and not really know what's going on. It can feel quite alone if there aren't people, like lonely, if there aren't people in your life that are also, experiencing this or have gone through it themselves. So thank you for explaining that. And for yourself, like, what supported you as you were shifting and moving into some of these places? Because from my understanding, what you're saying is that when you experienced the dark night of the soul, you met your shadow. The parts of ourselves that we hide from or hide the world from, and they may not even be conscious to us. And they start to kind of come up to the surface, and they can feel quite uncomfortable. And how did you kind of work through that in yourself?
Well, it's a journey. So it's no magic pill kind of overnight success. If you're in a dark night, it's always because your soul has invoked you there. There is medicine for you here. And that medicine is tied up in your liberation and your understanding of who you are. So the container that you can't often see that is holding you, the vessel of this journey where you're in the dark night of the soul, is the greatest story is it's actually your becoming. And what that means is your soul is asking you to let go and let more of your original self, your truth, who you really are, show up in the world. But to do that, you have to unravel all of the places that you hold on, all of the places that you're locked down, all of the beliefs and ideas about being small and hiding and it not safe to be seen and heard, not safe to express your needs and to claim what you want and to be a sovereign, wealthy woman. You meet all of that. And so the unraveling process, the shining a light on that and saying, is this really true for me? Or is this just how I have identified with myself because there is pain within me that I have never really resolved, because the experiences of my life or the experiences of my family or just the humanity of this world that we live in, or sometimes for some people it's their past life experiences, is all unresolved and locked down within me. And that's part of the shadow, is like bringing that to the surface and making peace with that. And that's not the making peace with that is an embodiment and a transformation of that, so it doesn't stay locked within you. It starts to move and flow, and then more of your soul can come through, more of who you are starts to arrive and show up in the world. And so when you're going through that, I think whatever you need to support you and to remind you that this is not because you're crazy. This is not because you're depressed. This is not because you're unsafe and lost and hopeless. It's none of those things. It's because your soul is giving you this medicine. And she's saying, this is the journey to claiming who you are. And we're going to meet those places. And the interesting thing is, what I've learnt is that who we are is both dark and light. Who we are is our spirit, but it's our earth as well. It's our humanity. It's our rawness and our realness, and all of our wounds aren't bad and our shadow is not wrong. It's just a part of ourselves that we're learning to claim. And while we're doing that, what is actually happening is we're freeing ourselves up so our gifts can start being expressed within us and through us. Mm-hmm. So whatever helps you know that that's what's really going on, whether it's a trusted practitioner or a guide or healer or a coach that works, you know, in the soul becoming and the awakening process, I know that I would not have got by without this beautiful group of sisters who were on the same journey as me or had been through it or were about to go through it, and all it felt like they surrounded me in that time and they reminded me of what was going on and why it was happening and that I wasn't crazy, and that because my sensitivities are so strong, it feels like I can feel quite extreme. I used to feel quite extreme. I think part of the awakening and going through the dark night is you land your power and your field becomes really stable and you start to show up and transmit who you are. So it's actually only a season that deep, dark place comes up. But having those women around me, it just feels like they were my guides and they were my support and they were my midwives of my soul as well. And that's the one thing that I say to everyone is you need that. You need your soul crew, whoever they are. If you don't have that yet, you have to trust that they're there, and you have to know that the more you take this journey, the more you will find them.
Yeah, that's so true, isn't it? And it's kind of almost, if you don't have them, you know, start to call them in, you know, put it out there to find those people who are like-minded, and you can have that, you know, can give you that support. I definitely completely agree with you, because otherwise, yeah, like you said, you know, it can be quite lonely, and you know, thoughts could come up that, you know, are not that supportive in terms of, you know, oh, what's happening, you know, is there something wrong with me? I've heard a lot of people say I'm broken. You know, have you heard that a lot as well? No, you're not broken. It's just, this is the season. This is actually an incredibly exciting time of your life. And you know, the process, you learn so much, and it's so enriching. But at the same time, yeah, it can be difficult to do it alone. So I love how you describe that, for sure.
And the one, can I just add one thing to that? Please. Because when you're speaking, the one constant that happens for myself and happens for so many of the people in my life is when those thoughts come up around, I must be broken, or I must be depressed, or I must be crazy, or this is my dreams and desires are not possible because I feel this way. So much of it is because we have this, well, when we haven't really met ourselves, we have this relationship with what we feel where we're not willing to feel what's within us. And so those ideas and thoughts are only because we jump out of what is happening in our heart, and sometimes the intensity of what our heart is feeling or our body is feeling, and we jump into the protection and the defense ideas, the things that shut you down and the ideas that make you feel like, oh, it's pointless. You should just crawl back into your little cave where you're safe and not do this risky thing that you really deeply desire to do. And those ideas, we can jump out of ourselves and disassociate and really get stuck in the mental association of that identity. When really in this time, all we need to do is learn how to feel and surrender into that feeling, because that is the quickest path to moving through this into your radiance. Because what comes on the other side of the dark night of the soul is the radiance of your soul, because you are here and you are empowered and you're willing to show up and you have yourself in the center of yourself. You are home. And so what I learned for myself after a lot of fighting the process and a lot of my nervous system shutting down was actually it's surrendering into what I feel and letting those currents and rhythms move through my body and not going down the rabbit hole so much of all the past and the stories and getting lost there, just acknowledging I feel pain and it's breaking my heart open and I don't feel like I can breathe, and I'm just going to continue to breathe and let this move through. Because that's what it actually wants to do. The soul's coming in and saying, this needs to move because you've locked it down within you for too long and it's stopping your brilliance. So feel it and let it move through, because it is actually moving through and your light, your radiance is behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And would you say, because I know a lot of people have been talking about, you know, trauma release and things like that. And I did a training just recently. I don't know if you heard of the Bridge Experience with Alexi Panos and Preston.
Oh yeah, I don't know them personally, but I've definitely heard of it. Yes.
Yeah. So I did a training with them, a weekend training, and we did a bunch of different exercises, and one of them was a trauma release, which was essentially bringing up some of this stuff in terms of things that we feel shame and guilt around and bringing them up to be seen, and then to hold the sensations in the body and the way that it's coming through in order to kind of witness it. I mean, it was pretty powerful and very, very strong. The great thing was that there was a supportive group that was holding every one of us in that place. So it felt safe.
Beautiful.
But, you know, essentially from what you're kind of speaking about, it sounds quite similar, but the difference is that you do it on your own potentially, which is to actually, when you're working through something that's coming to the surface and you're feeling the sensations in the body, instead of trying to run away from them, shut them down, make them wrong, or find something to distract yourself with, whether it's alcohol or whatever the thing is to actually just to become present with it and just to feel it.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't know how to navigate into your body like that, because it is a skill, and a lot of us, but we don't teach this in our school, so it's not a skill a lot of us have learned, do it with a trained facilitator or do it with a group or a friend or a partner that makes you feel really safe. But yeah, essentially it is that, and it becomes a really dynamic space where you don't even just have to be present with it. You start to know that it's so safe for you to feel it all. Yeah. And so part of the allowing yourself to become really sensitive to what your body is expressing to you is about trusting that you are safe in your body. Because what happens with trauma is we store it. So we experience it, and we experience it across all levels of who we are. So the body and the mind and the emotions and the energy field, sometimes it even lodges in our soul field, and it lodges there. And then what we do is we develop protection mechanisms around it. So we develop this identity that tries to keep us away from re-experiencing the trauma that hurt us so much. And part of that is telling ourselves it's not safe to feel this. It's not safe to revisit the thing that broke me or nearly broke me. And usually it isn't safe within the mind. Usually when we start to think about it and start to meet it from the level of the mind, it revisits it in a way that's not about transforming it. It's like cycling and circling back into it. Whereas when you actually start to let those emotions and currents and energy flows in your body start to come up, you can feel it with the body. And it's so safe because it's actually just a sensation. Mm. So the grief that cracked your heart, you can feel that, and it can feel hot and fiery and full on and intense and like you're being engulfed, and it can shake your body and move your body, and your body can open and undulate, and there might be noise that comes with it and tears and everything. But when you keep knowing that you're safe to meet that, it's actually very liberating, because you're not trying to meet it from the place of the mind, which says it's not safe to ever go there. And you're starting to realize that actually it's so safe to be in our bodies. Yeah. And it's so safe to feel. And we can do the most exquisite trauma release within our body. And the thing that's very interesting is often the deepest trauma is the most potent gateway into your soul gifts, meaning that you, when you can really meet that, it seems to like go to a deeper place within you because it's lodged so deep. And sometimes it's nearly even in your soul's dreaming, you know, the wound is the gift and it speaks to your legacy and why you're here. And if you can really give yourself freedom to go there, you tend to choose yourself and your power more in the deepest wound. Mm. And so then it becomes really pleasurable. I have been totally consumed by pain and an absolute pleasure because I'm not trying to revisit it from the mind.
Yeah.
So that's part of the process.
Yeah, because it's that integration, isn't it? Yeah, I've definitely felt that within my own healing journey, that it's not just in the mind, it's so much in the body, and it's really coming into the body has helped the shifts and the realignment within the nervous system. Like I've particularly with breath work, I've found has really helped to shift some of that. Do you use breath work in any of the work that you do, or what types of things do you do in terms of helping your students with this or clients with this type of?
Yeah, breath work can be really powerful because again, it's something that's tangible for someone. So taking the breath there is an entry point into experiencing the energies of it in a way that feels safe, like, okay, I can understand this breathing in the body. Like I can understand that's what I'm doing. Yeah. And it's nearly like a really beautiful, gentle gateway into starting to really feel the energy of the body. Mm-hmm. So breath is definitely all a part of it. I find the willingness, and it is an art, of just being willing to feel. So if you're frustrated at your partner, or you're in this really bogged down, sunken place, or you're feeling like, I don't have abundance and I don't have the money to do what I want to do, or you're getting frustrated at your business and thinking that it's never going to get out there, what will happen is you're running all of these ideas through your head based on the identity of that wounding that you haven't really resolved yet. And then also there's always this opportunity to go, actually, what am I really feeling? Beyond all the noise, what am I really feeling? And am I willing to feel it all? So I have some little mantras of like, I'm willing to feel whatever this is. So I'm willing to trust my body and soften into it and be shown, because often those sensations lead you somewhere. Often I've found that they're actually the channels of your intuition. So your body is so intuitive. So your soul will speak directly to you while you're in the body. Mm. And just giving permission for that. So sometimes it might be your breath. Sometimes it might be movement. It's really powerful to go to parts of you that feel really tense or numb or shut down or anguished and let the sound out from there. Often the deeper you go, the more energy that starts to build up in your body, and that's when a beautiful thing starts to happen. You start to feel these waves of energy move through your body. And in the work that we do, we say that in the first phase is just embodiment, and it's not just because you're starting to feel and meet those sensations and say, okay, bring it on. Mm-hmm. And the second phase is eruption, because it's like, I'm becoming alive with this. So it starts to really make this process really dynamic, and it can look like, it can look quite dynamic, movement or feeling or energy heating up. And then the third phase is expansion. So after you clear through all that energy, your soul just comes through and expands totally out through your whole field. Mm. So start with breath, be willing to feel, be willing to kind of just, if something's coming up and you're thinking all of these thoughts just ask yourself, what am I really feeling here? And be willing to tune into your body and then go there and go deeper and surrender more and just keep being willing to surrender. And what you'll find is all of this new energy starts moving within you and it becomes quite an erotic, dynamic, powerful process.
Beautiful. Thank you for those suggestions, because I think with a lot of these things, you know, the experience may be coming up and then it's like, okay, but how do I, you know, work with this? Where do I take this? So just having a few tips on, and particularly like you're saying, is like to feel, you know, to feel. I think so many people are walking around. I know that I used to, if I reflect back to how I used to live my life, it was like I was a walking head. Because I spent my whole time in my head, and it wasn't until I began to really come into my body through a regular yoga practice that I started to switch things on in my body, and I started to notice the communication coming through from my body and the incredible wisdom that the body has, and started to then make the connections as to what was happening and could go deeper into those places. But, you know, if someone hasn't got a yoga practice, you know, even like you're saying, you know, asking, what am I feeling? Where do I feel it? That can help.
Yeah, definitely. And also just knowing that the science of our body and our neurology says that if we are a walking head, which most of us have been and still are a lot of the time, it's often because of unresolved trauma in our body that's locking us down. So start the process and go find someone that can, it can be the most liberating thing to go on a journey with someone to unravel that. And not just a one-off session, but literally commit to your own liberation. Because you will feel unhindered pleasure and expansion and possibilities. You will feel like, oh, that you will land your soul and what she really wants to do in the world by opening that portal of your body up. So I can't recommend that more. And that includes things like yoga and dance and trauma release and all of the amazing things, circle work and expression and having your, you know, your soul crew around and studying to learn how to share your gifts with others and all of the things. Just start and do it, because you will feel like you start to claim your bigger why for you being here on the earth.
Yeah, totally, totally. And did you find that for yourself, it gave you more purpose in life and more of a sense of meaning?
Yeah, I think what it does for me is it's this beautiful experience. And look, this is a many year process, which I'm sure we all know anyway. Yeah. This is a lifelong dedication to ourselves. Our humanity is still so real, and we should claim that too. So it's like we have our human moments, and I disassociate all the time and energetically jump out of my body. Not as much anymore, but I used to quite a lot, and I still do, because I'm super sensitive and I don't always realize when things have got too much for me and I've escaped.
Yeah.
So, but what I do feel most of the time is this sense of not just academically knowing who I am or what I desire or what my purpose might be, but feeling the fullness of who I am in my being. So I feel like this is who I am, and I am certain of this, and I can feel that. I can feel my light and my dark. I can feel my tenderness and my expansion, so my spiritual power and my humanity. And then there's this steadiness and this courage and conviction within me to not shrink that because I'm afraid of being seen in the world, but actually to bring it forth because I'm devoted to the bigger desires of my soul and really my legacy as a soul as well. And this is from a woman that is so terrified, you know, of public speaking and being seen. And took me so long to get my business started because I was just in that absolute terror of all of those things. And, you know, coaches used to kind of look at me and go, well, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you making such a big deal out of putting a website out or whatever? And it was because I was literally in a state of terror around it. And so it's just really beautiful to recognize for myself that it does change, and you can find this place of power within yourself where you back yourself no matter what. Mm-hmm. And you devote to your soul first and foremost, and the what she really desires to do and her work and her gifts, and you take a stand for that in the world. And it's this power and conviction that exists within every single cell of your being. That's what embodiment does for me.
So beautiful. So beautiful. I really, I could feel all of what you were saying then. So thank you.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
And I want to talk a bit more about sort of your journey. So you went into kinesiology. So when you left your engineering job, you decided to study kinesiology. Then how did that kind of evolve to where you are now and the work that you do?
There's a few steps in between, but we won't go there because it's like, oh, okay. Gosh, yeah. There has been a long journey here. So when I was working as a kinesiologist, I loved that work. And it was really a vehicle for me to start, you know, doing the stuff that I loved and sharing my gifts. It was amazing. And then it was really freaking hard as well. Had a lot of broke healer stuff going on, you know, some lineage stuff around whether it was just not a thing that was realized within my family that we could be who we are in the world and earn good money for that and be rich or wealthy or and an abundant livelihood just in your soul gifts. So, and collectively as well, that wasn't really the thing. Like there was this collective idea. And when I started to be a kinesiologist as well, people had no freaking idea what that was. Like it was like, kinesi what? You know, yeah. It was really just not a thing. So it felt really irresponsible. That was my old conditioning, irresponsible. And nearly like I was giving up my good pay. I was a manager in government and giving up my good steady pay, doing good things. By that time, I was working in sustainability, doing good things in the world, but still really quite conventional. Giving up that for what my soul wanted to do, but it felt like giving up the livelihood as well. So I had all of that going on. So just meant that those first couple of years in my business were really tough for me and my family.
Was there scraping by?
Yeah, definitely some guilt of the burden and some shame as well, that it wasn't, that I didn't just like manifest a dream life of being a kinesiologist and earning lots and, you know, so there was that. Mm. So I realized that I had some deeper work to do to work through that, because there was a time where it just I had so much survival stress around money and running my business and trying to get clients that I was exhausted, and it nearly felt like that time back when I was younger on the brink of a nervous breakdown. And me saying, oh, if this is my soul purpose, I don't know if I want this because it doesn't feel very good. So there was like this deeper knowing, well, there was this knowing that I had some blocks and I needed to work through them. And at the same time, because we're dynamic individuals, so we can be very in the tension but also being guided somewhere by our soul. At the same time, my soul started giving me these messages, and they were crazy messages. I remember sitting in my clinic one day and receiving a message, "You're meant to teach and write." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the heck am I meant to teach and write? I'm a broke healer who's struggling to get by. And it was so funny. Once I received that, I just started receiving more information and more of what I know now to be the first iteration of my soul work, which is not just about me being a kinesiologist, but me being me, and that was my work. So I didn't need a modality to define myself, but I actually have something unique. It's my gifts that were potent, not the fact that I was a kinesiologist. And so once that started opening, I started receiving information about why I've had the journey that I've had and what's really going on and what I'm meant to teach to others. And the very vulnerable thing about that was the first big download of my soul work. So what now is an academy. And I qualify practitioners, and we have the most amazing journeys that we go on in all sorts of different realms. But what the beginning was something called energy for abundance. And I was like, how the heck am I supposed to teach abundance when I'm freaking feeling this brokenness around my healership? And this often happens as well.
It's like, so interesting. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the first step, first gateway into what I now know as my legacy and my unique body of work that is developed from my gifts and my journey and my intuitive downloads and what I receive from the earth, and that's what I transmit and share with the world. And I had to learn that it wasn't about me being a coach or a kinesiologist or a healer or anything. It was about the journey, the claiming, and then the design and development of my body of work. And that was what actually healed my abundance stuff anyway, but it still felt really vulnerable teaching it to begin with.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge work, you know, to be to be given, to be open to, and then to be given a message like that. And then, you know, the ego kind of going, but I'm not there, so how can I teach that? But then doing it anyway. And then as a result, you know, because you're stepping into your soul, you know, the message that's coming through. It's beautiful, because I've just recently been running some workshops, and it's so funny because the workshops that I've been running, they're things that I've been working on for a very long time within, you know, my own life, and then through the studies that I've done and such like. And then of course on each day of those, or even the few days before those workshops, that particular issue has become something risen its head just in the few days beforehand, you know.
I love it.
Keeping it real, you know. Stay humble, because you don't think that you've resolved this, you know, because you so haven't, and that's okay. And it's constant learning, but it doesn't mean that I can't teach to it.
No, and actually, if we talk about the energetic science of it, I don't think that we can be embodied, deep, authentic leaders if we're not embodying our work. And I think because we're drawing through all of these new energies, it's like you teach and you give your message and your story, but what you're actually doing is you're giving an activation. You're transmitting energy to others. And when you're bringing through new energy, which we all are, you bring it through and you have to embody it. So the quality of that new energy, like I said before, that luminosity tends to take you deeper into yourself and brings up all your old stuff, all your old crap. And that, to me, is an embodied leader because you are integrating that energy into yourself. So I would love to see, and I'm sure it's happening all over, but that all of us do that as we're teaching. That we don't teach from the perfect place, because that means that we're not being accountable to embodying the energies that we're bringing through.
Yeah, so true. So true. And like I found that running those workshops, being in that place of real, you know, humility and vulnerability of sharing, yeah, the messages of what I'd actually gone through that day or, you know, that week, the connection that that brought into the room with everyone who was there. Yeah, it was really special. I could totally feel it. And I felt that to be healing for everyone, because in each of our stories, you know, it helps to heal another, or it helps to bring awareness to parts of, you know, something that's going on for someone else. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. It's like the leader who knows her humanity can ignite the humanity in someone else and help them feel safe in the vulnerability that they feel about themselves. And that brings, that's true intimacy. That's what really happens when we start collaborating at the level of soul. So it's not that you come to heal someone because you got all your stuff together. No. It's actually because you come together to co-create from a place of that open vulnerability, and that creates magic.
Oh, so beautifully said. That's exactly how it felt. It didn't feel like any, there wasn't separation. It was very connected.
And to be you know, like to bring this to a practical business strategic sense, it's actually very powerful to run your business or your expression or your marketing from that place too. I know that a lot of the attraction and the calling in and the success in my early years, of particularly even when I was teaching that very first program, Energy for Abundance, feeling very, very unprepared to do so, it was the vulnerability that called people in. It was the transmission of that openness. So the willingness for me to be in both places, the vulnerability and the truth. So it's not like, and I think that's the mastery, is that we can know both in our work. So it's like, yeah, I'm human and I'm vulnerable and I know this is true. And you give that transmission and it's so compelling, because your soul clients are waiting for that from you. So that vulnerability draws people closer. It really does. So from a marketing perspective, not that we're there to, you know, marketing is really just transmission of your energy and stepping into the accountability of your work. So it reaches the hearts of those it's meant to reach, but you have to do that through opening all of yourself in that transmission. So it's very powerful to do that in your business as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for explaining that, because, I think that, you know, from my journey with, you know, stepping out there and, you know, creating a business, and that there has been parts where I shy away from that for sure, because it feels very vulnerable, and, you know, some of my own old stories pop up. So to actually have you sort of say, no, this is a great thing to really step into, kind of, is really reassuring.
Go do more of that.
awesome. So we're going to start to wrap up, but before you, I'd love it if you could explain the work that you do and a bit more about your academy, and sort of, you know, how people can find out more about what you're up to.
Oh, thanks for that invitation. So I am the founder of the Soul Medicine Academy, and this is the place where women and those who identify with being a woman really are called into the greater meaning and depth and legacy of who they are as a soul. and are ready to unearth and then activate the gifts that exist within them. And part of that journey for some women within the academy is about going and becoming qualified as a practitioner in our modality, which is called energy and soul medicine. And so part of the energy and soul medicine practitionership is about the curating that space of being in that soul circle of everyone who is birthing themselves to develop your own body of work. So we learn the science and the artistry of energy and soul and mind and embodiment and everything in between, but it's actually not to become some kind of cookie cutter healer or some version of me. Our women download their own bodies of soul work and they go and become authors and speakers and create their own academies and training curriculums. And it's really powerful for me to see someone rise up into her legacy and make her soul gifts her own. So that's a big part of our training. And then we have all sorts of leadership programs and awakening programs and deep embodiment and learning how to activate the portals within yourself. We work with the Soul Centers, which is a body of work that we've channeled through the Academy. 19 amazing Soul Centers in the world. We've just started a new group who's going through that deep activation of their own personal 19 soul centers so they can work with others within them.
So yeah, we chakras or different
soul centers. So chakras are very much involved with the inflow and outflows energy and distributing chi through the body and through the fourth dimension. So very powerful to work with your chakras and cleanse your chakras and purify your energy that way. The soul centers exist at a deeper level of your energy field, and they are actually responsible. They're the gateways that your soul moves through from the highest level of your soul, so at the fifth dimension of your light body and beyond, and channeling that light and dark nature of who you are into the world. And so the 19 soul centers are really the place where you meet who you are and you meet the original essence and codes and possibilities and light and dark nature, and you bring them that through the 19 soul centers, and you start to really show up in the world with your full soul field because you're activated in the soul centers. So they're at a deeper energetic level to the chakras, and the chakras and the soul centers work quite differently. Still both very powerful, but we're loving our discovery and exploration of the soul centers. They're really powerful.
Amazing. Oh, your training is so good. It's on my list. It's on my list.
Oh, awesome. We'll have to chat.
yeah, totally. And so is this training in person or is it online?
Yeah, we have a bit of a hybrid approach. So our main flagship program, which is our Energy and Soul Medicine Practitioner Certification, is a year-long program because soul awakening takes time. And it's part personal transformation and part qualification, internationally certified. That's a year-long program. So we journey online, but we have specific moments through the year where we come together in person. So there's three big occasions, one at the beginning, one in the middle, one at the end, three-day workshop, and then usually a retreat in Bali, maybe next year in Costa Rica because we're having a US round, and then back at our Soul Medicine Academy in Australia. So we really love those in-person events to earth things, as you would probably know, Claire, because during the workshops, it's like there's nothing as special as when you come together in person. It's magic.
So good. Yeah.
So that's how we do it. We have a we go to on a journey over the year, but then we meet up in person, and that's really important too for practicing some of your soul work and your gifts and some of the energy and soul medicine stuff. It's really good to anchor that in and get that guidance in person too.
Fantastic. And I'll put all of the details up on the show notes so that people can have a little look and see if that's something that is resonating with them.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, thank you so much for this interview. It's been absolutely fantastic to connect and have some chats because for me, I absolutely love it. And I know I get so many messages from people saying that they just love to listen along and is helping them on their journey. And, so thank you so much for putting aside the time and, sharing your gifts, sharing the gifts you're giving to the world. And then also through conversations like this.
Oh, thank you for holding that space for me. It's such a beautiful experience to be held and invited to speak about yourself and your soul work. So it's a real gift that you're providing to others. And thank you. It's awesome to chat in all of these deep and luscious ways.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Melissa. See you
soon.
Thanks,
Claire. Bye.
And there you have it. Thank you so much for listening. And I do hope that you enjoyed this episode and gained some new insights. If you're enjoying this podcast, please do share it with friends you think may benefit from the message. And if you'd like to rate the show and give it a review on iTunes, not only would I be so happy, but this will also help increase the show's visibility so that more people can benefit from the messages. I would love to connect with you, so you can find me on Instagram. My handle is _Claire with an I and an E, Bradshaw_. I so totally can't wait to connect with you soon. Have a beautiful day.